Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
So to me, all big elk look the same, but when you see a big mule deer, you know it's a big mule deer. They started an archery shop in California, and so Easton, we're the only arrow manufactured in the USA. My bullseye is the size of a dinner plate, where other guys, they're shooting, you know, trying to get that dime. I don't consider myself an influencer. I'm more of a product prostitute. How many elk have you killed? He goes, well, I've killed like 12 elk with this bow setup. I'm like, you know the guy who's telling you your bow's messed up? I think he's killed maybe two. My advice for anyone, I mean, number one, do less, have fun, and just don't drop your arm. This is Isaac Ellman, and you're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Put down your latte and pull on your boots.
There's a lot of people that can pull the trigger on an animal, but they don't know what to do with it after.
If you would have told me that a stupid turkey was going to make me get that excited, I'd have told you you were crazy.
It's just a skill that you have to perfect over a lot of years.
Hunting is a tribal activity. We've lost the tribe. We can't even hunt together anymore.
Well, the people that are anti-hunting are usually pro-abortion. So kill the people, save the animals.
I just remember riding my horse back to camp with the northern lights and the moose behind me, and I'm like, this is why I've done this. This is as cool as an experience as I will get.
Hi, this is Jim Shockey.
This is Sam Sohol, the public land bus guy.
Hi, I'm Kimmy Greentree.
Hi, this is South Cox with the Western Bowhunter Podcast.
Hey, this is Ben Dedamonte, a.k.a. Shed Crazy.
You're listening to The Wild Initiative.
All right, well, here we are at the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo, getting towards, like, I guess it's towards the end of the day on
Friday.
What time do they shut this foolishness down?
I think it's 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock? Okay, we are not anywhere near the end of the day on Friday.
That's true.
But I am sitting down with the one, the only, Isaac Ailman.
Thank you.
And we are here today. You know, Isaac works for Easton.
Yep.
Isaac is really an expert in the technical aspects of arrow flight and, you know, really kind of the nuance and the importance of FOC is really what's the most important thing to him. So I'd really, really like to get your insight on what you think of FOC, Isaac.
FOC, as I say to some people, you know, it's that rabbit hole you can go down. And FOC, I was told too, is, I won't swear, but stands for, okay, but effing overcomplicated sometimes. All right? So my take on it is some people think it's very important. All right? I work at Easton, I work for Easton Archery now for 7 years. You know, I love bow hunting, and I could see how I went down that rabbit hole, All right. And I see the trend. So it was really big back in the day. I was told, like from the guys who worked there for a while.
Okay.
I was told FOC was real popular. Then it died down and it was all about, you know, lightweight arrows and it went to heavy arrows. Now the trend's making it back again. High FOC.
It's just like clothing. It just cycles around
it
and
does.
It all comes back.
Exactly. So that's what happens.
Well, we're not seriously going to sit and talk about the technical aspects of arrows because honestly, who really cares about it?
Well, no, but this is the thing, though. I mean, I joke around about it. I know what's worked for me. I mean, and, you know, I personally like a heavy arrow.
Yep.
A heavy arrow with, you know, with just 100 grade point on it. I mean, I prefer a heavy arrow over than a lightweight arrow with a heavy front. And I don't measure my FOC. I don't even know what my arrow weighs. And people make fun of me for that because we are working in the archery industry. Yeah. They think you would be geeking out on arrows. But this is the problem is my personality in that, you could, I mean, if I work in there, having all those arrows there, I could spend weeks just freaking
testing
out on arrows.
Testing every single arrow and combination.
And not getting nothing done at my job. So that could be a bad thing. And, you know, and I've talked to the engineers about it. And, you know, you talk to different people, they'll give you different answers. But it comes down to confidence. If you feel it helps you, my experience, a heavy arrow, you know, I like the FMJ. I love an aluminum carbon arrow, okay? That, to me, that's an arrow I like. Heavy arrow, I've had great success with that. And if it's broke, don't fix it. So that's one of the things I go with.
Yeah. I mean, I think I shoot a pretty heavy arrow. Like, it's, you know,
you shoot an axis, right?
I'm shooting the axis, yeah.
Perfect.
And, you know, that takes us to how we originally met. This was, what, 3 years ago, 2 years?
Over 3 years ago.
Because it was before I went on my first ever, like, elk hunt.
Yep.
And I kind of bombed in, and I was just tired. I just felt like sitting down, and I think we were in the Hushin booth or something.
No, you were in your car.
That was later.
Yeah, you're right.
We were in the Hushin booth, and I just like sat down, and you were just there, and you know me, I'll talk to anybody, and clearly you will as well.
Yep, sure will.
And I think we just talked for like an hour about absolutely nothing. And, you know, then later, it was the very last day, I was sitting in the back of my rental car, just kind of counting my splintered black eagles. And I remember you walked by with your son, and you're like, man, we need to get you into, you need to be using some Eastons. And I'm like, I was kind of like, yeah, I had no idea what you did. Like, we never talked about any of that. And I was like, I don't know, you know, these work well enough for me. I'm like, you know, and you're like, no, man, why are you using those instead of Eastons or something? And I'm like, I don't know. Nobody's ever given me a reason to change. You're like, well, you need to be using Eastons. And I was just, like, so dumb about it. And you're like, you have no idea what I do you?
No, but, well, you didn't. You know, and I saw, and I kind of gathered from you, you know. I saw, after talking to you, you were hungry. You know, and I love seeing these guys that are new to the sport. They're hungry, you know, they're ready to go. I mean, and that's what, you know, I just really, you know, like seeing that. And it's the growth to the sport, really, is what it is. But there's another reason why. I knew you were from Cali. Okay, and the thing is, people don't realize that's where Easton started.
Oh, wow.
Is in California.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, they started an archery shop in California. And so Easton, we're the only arrow manufactured in the USA. The only one. Yes.
Everyone else
is overseas. Yep.
Huh.
Yep, all others overseas. Easton's manufactured here in Salt Lake City, but they originated in California. And a unique thing about that is Easton's a family-owned business. This is a three-generation business. So it's pretty cool. The grandpa's the one that started it.
Mm-hmm.
He had a hunting accident with the shotgun, and while in the hospital room, got into archery.
Okay.
And from there, he started Eastern Archery, which he started using, you know, Steeder shafts, and then he went into making aluminum shafts. His son took it over. They moved the facility to Salt Lake City, started manufacturing shafts, hockey sticks, baseball bats.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people know Easton from the baseball bat.
Yeah.
But they don't realize it started from an actual arrow.
So the arrow was the first. That was the origination of the whole
thing. That was the original of the whole thing. Yep. He started with aluminum because that's the material. The aluminum arrow is the straightest, consistent you can get. With, you know, with the material at the time that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they went from there, and then they started the baseball bat division. Back in the late 90s, I believe it was, they sold the baseball bat sports division, and they took that money, and that's where you hear about the Eastern Archery Centers, the Olympic training centers.
Yeah.
They used that money to open those up for training facilities for the archery athletes.
Okay.
So that's kind of a cool story about Easton.
You know, it's funny. It's like, and I mean, you know, I'm from California, so I can talk more crap than anyone else. But, you know, it is funny when you think about the history that California has with the outdoors is huge.
Yep.
I mean, like, well, even like Weatherby, you know, we're just up the aisle from Weatherby. And they started out in California. There's so much of the outdoors that started out there. And I completely understand the reasons everybody is no longer there, but, you know, it's one of those funny storied histories that most people have no idea about until you get into it.
Okay, so you told me you recently moved to Northern California,
yeah,
right?
I'm up in Northern California.
Are you familiar with the Indian, I may murder as Ishii? Are you familiar with that
name? Yeah, I've read the book, like, ages ago when I was
That's the inspiration for the whole lot of the Pope and Young, the guys that keep the score, the start of the score, the scoring system for archery. He's one of the reasons, and that's all from Northern California.
I'm pretty sure somebody will probably email me and
correct me if I'm wrong. But I just know because also Chuck Adams, legendary bow hunter, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first guy to kill all the North American game with a bow. He's actually from Northern California as well, too.
Yeah,
so.
There's a lot of, you know, I've had a lot of people on the podcast that I had no idea, where they'll hop on and they'll be like, oh yeah, no, I was from, this city, or I grew up in, like, near Fresno or something. I'm like, I mean, again, I understand why there are most of them are gone now, but it's just, it's kind of funny, you know, it's because of the reputation California has and everything, but. So, got some of the history of Easton. I want to get some of the history of Isaac. Tell us a little bit about you. How did you get introduced to hunting and the outdoors originally?
So I've always hunted. Growing up, I'm born and raised here in Utah. My dad, we always hunted for deer, right? And the way we've always hunted was we hike our butt off, okay? Hike our butt off, first deer we see, shoot them in the head, don't waste the meat, and drag the deer down. So I was raised into hunting that way. I didn't know any other way. My dad was like, let's hike. And so that's what we've always done. But we were rifle hunters. We used to bow hunt. My first archery, I got introduced to archery, really. I mean, little kid, you always do it. But Rambo First Blood Part 2. Oh, man. That was the ticket right there. I remember seeing that. I wanted that Rambo bow.
Is that the one where he screws on that giant arrowhead?
Yes.
Like the weird, that looks like the hat from one of the...
Yeah. And what's funny, so Easton actually made those arrows. And in the movie, he puts his arrows together. And that was actually just a tent pole that we had for him, and we fletched. I bowed out. But
That's awesome.
So I've always been into archery, but I really never got into it. I mean, the thing is, to be honest with you, is I didn't start really shooting a bow till 2005.
Wow. Okay.
So I always rifle hunted, muzzleload hunted. And it wasn't until 2005 I really decided to, get into archery. And at the time, I wasn't even working in the industry. I worked for the DMV. Okay, at the DMV, worked 9 years for the DMV. Ooh. Loving everything about hunting, reading. This is back in the day now. Forums. Okay, this is even before MySpace.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I was on every forum, reading every book, and I just got so sucked into archery. Because there's an area here in Utah we're able to hunt, and it's a archery only unit. And so, I used to hunt out with a rifle with my dad.
Okay.
And there's no ATVs, no horses. You have to hike in. And so I just wanted to hunt that again. And sure enough, that's what I did. And it has probably been one of the, best things I ever did, because I was so passionate about archery. It kind of just, everything fell into place.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now here I am, I'm a marketing job at Easton.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I mean, that's, that's how it's always worked. I mean, we've always hunted, Utah, public land, mule deer. That's what I love to hunt right there.
So it's mule deer for you, eh?
Mule deer all the way. People think it's crazy. People think, I mean, elk, they're great. But when you see a elk, okay, so when you go down to the booths here, so at this show, you got Doyle Moss. You go to the booth, you see all these big elk, okay? And they're all big. So to me, all big elk look the same. But when you see a big mule deer, it's a big mule deer, okay?
There's no doubt
that is a giant.
I will give you that. I will give you that. Like, you can be out and you can see, like, a good-sized mule. You're like, that is a respectable mule deer. But when you see, like, a big mule deer, that's the only way there's no doubt that is just enormous.
And so when I talk to you and you're getting into archery, and you're wanting to, learn, and it's intimidating because you have that curb, that learning curb, right? And so for me, I was always like, man, it's going to be hard before I kill something, and do, kill something big. But, I'll just show you right here. Here's my second deer with a bow.
Oh, dang. We're looking at a picture of a very large deer, folks.
So for me, okay, so growing up, I know people say spread doesn't matter. But growing up, man, it was remember the 30-inch was the benchmark, right? That's what it was. You kill 30-inch deer.
Okay.
Okay, and everybody says, but that's what I've always wanted. And sure enough, I was lucky to get him, and he scored 32 inches.
Nice.
So that was my second deer with a bow. And after that, that's a deer of a lifetime. Oh, man, that's a public land deer. You're never going to kill another deer. Well, the following year, I killed that deer.
This thing is enormous, guys. It is just, I mean, it.
And so this is insane. A 3-point. So he was a 31-inch 3-point.
Okay.
Okay, my third year with a bow. Yeah, you know, it was a 3-point. But, you know, and it was one of those things where I constantly just kept grinding, going up there. I knew there was a big deer there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept going to the same spot. And, you know, the learning curve shortened up. I mean, and just kept going at it. I mean, so.
Well, that's one thing I've realized, especially this year in Montana. And it's one of those things I think people tell you all the time when you're getting into hunting is the value of hunting the same area.
Yes.
And I haven't done that. My second year, I had a buddy invite me out to Colorado, so I went and hunted Colorado. This last year, I went and hunted Montana. And so I haven't been consistently hunting the same area. But this year, I really realized that because my Montana trip was 6 weeks.
Yes.
And so, you know, effectively, I learned that area. I found a spot that had a good elk herd. It was just this little teeny spot of state land, but, I had them patterned. And you learn that area, you know exactly where they're going to go. You know the spots you have to check. You're
correct.
Wasting so little time. And it really, really hit home for me this year. And, I need to find, Montana, I want one spot in Montana, but I need to find a couple other spots that I can really start scouting and learning because it has such huge value.
It is. It has a huge value. And, I mean, and after a while, you'll start learning because there are certain areas you'll take a look at, right? And some guys will go to Google Earth right away, and they'll be like, okay, I'm going to hunt this area, look at this big basin, oh, this is going to be great. But when you start researching like that, my nephew was looking at an area, and I go, hey, you don't understand. There are guys up there every year, a group of guys. I told him, there'll be 7 guys up there on the opener. Sure enough,
yep. There
are a group of guys up there. But then also you learn that some of the areas that look good on the map, but there's pockets that hold them, and other people don't know those.
Yeah. That's one of the things on that first year that really, really kind of screwed me was I looked at Google Earth and, you know, you see like kind of somewhere uh-huh. the trails are and stuff and you're like, okay, this looks great. And I got in and it was solid. It was just it looked good when I first started getting up into it. And once I'd kind of committed, all of a sudden I realized I'm literally climbing over waist-high deadfall for miles and miles.
Yep.
I'm, busting my way through choked trees and everything, and it had just snowed early. And so it's like, you can't tell you're going over this deadfall, and you can't tell if your next step's going to be 3 feet or three inches. And, you know, this whole thing, and you will never learn any of that from Google Earth.
No, it's not. I mean, you won't. And even hunting back, from my day with my dad, I mean, we stuck to the trails.
Yeah.
But we hiked a lot. He know a few shortcuts here and there, but we're hunting with rifles, so it's a whole different game. Archery hunting, I mean, that learning curve, is pretty rough. But once you start doing it enough, I mean, and you get comfortable with it, it's, especially having your own area to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that area, the ins and outs, where the deer are going to be, where they're going to go to next. And, that's the most important thing for us, being able to hunt here.
Yeah, it's tough because I need to hunt a little more at home too. I got caught up in the going out of state and chasing stuff, and I buy tags at home every year. This year I did not hunt a single day at home because this was also an odd year between quitting my job, rebranding the podcast, then I had my Montana tag, and so I had to do all of that. So I was gonna hunt California before Montana, and then hunt Montana, and then hopefully hunt some more in California afterwards, but Montana ended up being 6 weeks, and that was quite the adventure. But
right on. Jay, I can imagine 6 weeks in Montana. That's got to be fun, though.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, and winter came early, so I'm freezing my ass off the whole time, of course. But
look how skinny you are, though. There you go, man. You got to put some,
Well, this is all thanks to the SHOT Show flu. I lost about 10 pounds.
Gotcha.
That was a lot of fun, but we won't we won't discuss that plague anymore.
I hear you on that, man.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Oh, man. So you, I noticed, one of the things, you hunt with your son a lot.
Yes, I do.
And that is a huge thing, and I really love that. One of my favorite things is, because you post it all the time, is the series of photos. You always kind of take, you guys always take kind of the same
the
photo.
The Total Archery Challenge.
Challenge. And then, you know, you're always hunting together. I always see that stuff, and it's just, I love, there's just something about seeing your guys' relationship and seeing you guys hunt together, which is just really awesome. I absolutely love that.
Well, and that was important because, like, my dad used to take me and my brother out, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like, let's go. But the thing with my dad was he would hike us into the ground, right? And there were times I didn't like it. So I remember when I started taking my son, I just wanted him to go. So that's one of the things is, so last muley I killed with my bow was in 2010.
Okay.
Okay. Since then, my son was able to hunt as 2012. Since my son was able to hunt, he has filled 7 out of 8 mule deer tags.
Nice.
All public land. And his biggest 4 of them were with a bow. Okay, so, and he's had great success. But leading up to that, when he was little, when you take your kid hunting, here's the deal. You're no longer hunting. You're going out with your son, your daughter. You're going to have fun. You're taking your bow just in case. So when we'd go out, it was like, okay, we're going to go out. We're going to take some mountain house. We're going to take, make a little fire. We're going to make a hut. Yeah. And that's why you'll see sometimes you have little hammocks in there. And then I'd always bring just the extra old arrows with him, and his little bow, and let him fling arrows at stuff. Yep. Let him just have fun. And that's one of the key things, because if you take your kid out on a legit hunt, you got to be quiet. You can't move. Sit still. Yeah. It's cold. No, you got to take him out and slowly get him into that. And then going to Total Archery Challenges again, take him there and let him fling arrows and have fun. That's what I love about the Total Archery Challenge. It is a fun shoot. There's a lot of 3D tournaments out there where they keep score, they mark targets and that. And that's fun and all, but Total Archery Challenge, go out there, fling arrows, have fun. And it's one of the things now to where he's graduated high school. He's a bow tech at Shields.
Oh, nice.
I mean, and he's, and he's loving his job. I mean, he is so into archery now. He's a little archery tech, and I never pushed it on him because I'm not very technical.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, when we talked about arrows, right? For me, the arrow shoots good, flies good, paper tunes. I'm happy because my bullseye is the size of a, dinner plate.
Yeah.
Where other guys, they're shooting, trying to get that dime, right?
They're trying to shoot the eye out.
They're trying to shoot the eye out. Yeah. Me, I'm happy if I could just get it in that dinner plate. So I'm not a technical guy, and now my boy is learning all that, and he's on the technical side of things.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird how everything just kind of came around. I mean, I started working for the DMV, and I used to be, it was for Badlands Backpacks. I was, they're a local company, and I said, hey, when you have a show, let me help. I didn't know what a pro staff was, but they said, okay, you're a pro staff. Come and help at the shows. We'll give you a free backpack, and we'll give you a deal on backpacks. So I used to work the shows for them constantly. And working at DMV all that time, I would might take vacation days to come to this show and help them.
Yeah.
And from there, I ended up being to the point to where they're like, hey, we want to hire you as a sales manager. Like, I don't have a degree. They're like, we don't care. You're passionate about hunting. And so they actually hired me as a sales manager. And I worked there for 5 years. And Easton hired me as a sales manager for them. And so that's how it all kind of, archery kind of just is all from just loving archery, loving this industry, kind of took over, and it led to a career for me.
Yeah.
So that's my little story there.
Well, and it's funny, it's interesting you talk about kind of, quote unquote, becoming pro staff for Badlands. And it's taken such a shift where it's like, it's almost reversed where people are like, okay, make me pro staff and then I'll do the work or something.
I mean,
it's weird. I'm far from the person that's going to talk crap about it. Like, I'm not that guy, but I've heard that same story before where it's people come in and they just want to be involved and help out.
Yes.
And that's how you develop that relationship.
Exactly. And that's how, especially in this industry, the word of mouth from other manufacturers, you get guys who are like, hey, I don't want nothing for free, man. But can I help you out? And that's one of the things where, you get something from, from a company, they're like, well, they're just giving me free product. They're not paying me any money. No, that product is still worth something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And coming to work a show, but it's the people that are hungry and excited about it, the people that want to help sell your product, not use you to help grow them.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to find that fine line and bounce, bounce that.
And I was going to say, I'm sure you deal with that all day long.
What
getting messages and calls.
What's really good, our director of marketing is the one who writes the checks. So when it comes to people saying they want to get paid, I'm like, talk to that guy. Talk to that guy. You want free product? Show me what you can do, or a deal on product. Because the way it works for a lot of companies, it's a three-tier system. And I like to call it Goose, Maverick, and Iceman. Okay?
All right.
So Goose, level three, you get a discount on a product. Okay? And then there are level two for people, they get free product up to a certain amount, then a discount off other product. And then when you get, you know, that's the Maverick, and you get the Iceman, because I like the Iceman more than Maverick, personally.
I was kind of wondering about that. I was like, wait a second.
No, I like Iceman. Iceman level is where you get paid. Is where you're getting paid, and then you get the product as well.
Yeah.
And so those are the kind of levels you see. But, you know, people think pro staff, the pro in pro staff stands for professional. It's actually promotional.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the people you really want pushing your product, you know. Like when I met you, you know, like I said, I offered you free arrow. I very rarely do that to people. But talking to you, seeing your personality, seeing you were hungry. You were really hungry. And I, when you see that in somebody, and you were genuine about it, you know. You were like, hey, look at me. This is what I do. Give me free product. I mean, no.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
I think I turned you down like the first three times,
too. Yeah, you did.
Too.
Like, hey, let me send you something, man. Because, I mean, and again, But see, also, though, I came from that, you know, loving something, loving the industry, loving the product, but also not having the money or the memes or anything to understand how it all works, and just reaching out. And it was, for me, it was a friend I went to high school with who worked for Hoyt.
Oh, wow.
And he's the one that kind of, you know, helped me through it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was pretty cool.
Well, you know, I greatly appreciate it because only God knows with how I shoot. I need help with my arrows.
Listen, though, I mean, this, what's great, though, now there's a lot of YouTube videos out there about shooting. But remember, when you're shooting, just remember, get like the small plates, you know, for a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Start there and do not get frustrated, you know.
And that's one thing. It's funny, you know, I can tend to be such a perfectionist when it comes to myself.
Yes.
That I forget, and, you know, I'm sure everyone does it at the time. You know, when you're out shooting and it's just a little bit off and you start getting frustrated, and it's most likely just because you're doing some stupid grip in your bow, whatever it is, but it's just a little bit off, and we're talking like less than a pie plate. You know, maybe we're talking a 3-inch spread or something like that, 3-4-inch spread, and you're just like, oh, it's not, you know, getting all frustrated. You start tweaking your bow and it just gets worse and worse. When in all reality, you're like, if I'm shooting a 3-inch spread of 60 yards, I'm killing any deer I'm shooting at.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. What? I mean, it's, you know, and it goes down to, like, sometimes you got to unplug and stop. Like, I always tell people when they're shooting, I'm like, do less. And I would just mess with them. You know, was that Forgetting Sarah Marshall? You ever see that movie? Kudu was trying to teach him to surf.
Yes.
Can you do less? You got to do less. That's what I tell people. The guy, just one guy would draw back. I'm like, okay, let back down. Do less. And he's like, what? I'm like, just clear your mind. Just, you know, relax. And, you know, because once you start getting in that mindset, you know, being perfectionist, it starts, at, you know, the ball starts tumbling. Now, there are guys in the industry who are target shooters. They need to. That's their job.
Yeah.
And so that's a whole different era. I mean, if you're looking to get in target shooting, that I understand. But for hunting, don't get too, you know, and in the end, an expensive arrow with a lot of FOC and expensive broadhead. For a cheap arrow, I mean.
And, well, that's the thing. It's funny. Facebook memories, like the memories every day, is probably the greatest thing Facebook has ever done. Because it's like, you know, I look back now and I see all those old pictures that I got where I'm shooting my old, whatever the Bass Pro Shop brand arrow, you know, they're like generic arrows.
Yeah.
And they're like Lincoln Logs this size. Like, they're enormous, especially now that I'm using the Axis. I'm like, holy crap, those things were huge. And I'm like shooting them like with two fletchings on them.
Yep.
And to be honest, like, I was shooting just fine with them jacked up and, because I just wasn't worried about it. I was just focused on shooting. And, I mean, at the time, I'm also, you know, shooting out to 20, 30 yards max trying to figure out what the hell is going on. But, like, I was, oh, my gosh, I would just super glue the veins. If the vein kind of came loose, I'd just super glue it back on. I wouldn't use I can't even imagine now. But, yeah, I was just... I don't know, man. Getting started with that, looking back at that was so perfect.
This is something you got to know, okay? So there's a guy we work with, right? He's a very technical guy, right? Very technical. And so this new guy started, and he started. He was a new department, bow hunter, brought his bow in.
Okay.
Brought his bow in, and this guy who's worked there for a while looks at his bow and says, "Oh, your timing's all off, and your bow's out, and you're shooting different arrows." And so he goes, and so he's like, "Oh, well, God, my bow's off and everything." And it got in his head, right?
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
And it got into his head pretty bad. And I went and I told him, "Go listen, relax. How many elk have you killed?" He goes, "Well, I've killed like 12 elk with this bow set up." I'm like, "Exactly." I go, "Do you know the guy who's telling you your bow's messed up? I think he's killed maybe two or one." I'm like, so, because what happened was he brought his bow in, got it tuned up, started messing around with arrows, his release, and he was not shooting very well.
Yep.
And so it just got in his head. I'm like, listen, don't go down that hole. Shooting good. I mean, your equipment does have to be, in tune.
There's a certain level.
Yeah. There's a perfectionist level, and then there's that,
Well, I would say your equipment has to be tuned, or it has to be as quality as you are.
Yes, exactly.
You only need equipment that shoots as good as you do.
Correct.
And, so you don't need the highest end equipment. You don't need you know what? If you are just starting out, if you are literally just trying to figure out the mechanics of a bow and how to shoot, and you're doing those 10, 20-yard shots max right now, who cares if, you inherited the stack of arrows that, came with your bow in the kit, and then you have a couple of, what did I have? The I had some East Ends that I'd bought, way back in the day. I still have one that I'd broken, and I cut it off, and it's on the antenna of my old car that my nephew has now.
Is it an aluminum one or a carbon?
No, it was a carbon one. And I can picture it, but I bought those, and so I'm shooting these fat old arrows, but I was just trying to figure out the mechanics.
Yeah.
And when you're just trying to pie plate it at 20 yards.
Correct.
You can shoot a frickin' tree branch and it probably hit in the same spot.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you start talking about arrows and pricing, what comes down when you talk with arrows is the diameter of the arrow. Okay, you got Easton, you got a 6.5, diameter. You got a 6.5, a 6mm, a 5mm, and a 4mm. And it all just comes down to the smaller diameter, the straightness of the arrow. That's where all the pricing and everything comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, Easton has a line. Because, we're close to a 100-year-old company.
Yeah.
I mean, started in 1922 is when, Easton started. So that's, we got arrows for everything. But it just comes down to what you want and what your preference is and how much you want to get into it. Because, for instance, for me, I'm not going to know a 0.001 straightness on an arrow. I'm not going to know the difference between that and a 3.
Yeah.
All right? That's just me. There are some guys who will notice it, or for them, it gives them that confidence. And if it gives you confidence, go for it. But for me, it's just like, hey, my arrows are flying good. It's this straight. I'm happy.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Well, with archery, getting out of your head is so critical. I did an episode with Joel Turner, Shot IQ, and that's his whole thing, is like reprogramming your brain. And so much of all of this stuff you do, you just need to forget about it.
Yep, exactly.
And again, having those things, so much of it is mental, to where, if paying a little bit extra for that match grade arrow that's got that extra straight, if it just lets you forget about your arrows a little bit. If, having that whatever, some extra weight on, some extra FOC, if using a different vein or whatever, not having an arrow, or having it, if all of that gets you just forget about that, honestly, especially when you're starting out, again, it's not going to make any difference in your shooting to a certain extent.
Aaron Snyder said it best on a podcast I listened to, man. If you don't practice all right? And, you know, it doesn't matter how good your equipment is, you're not going to shoot good. Nothing in the world will, you know, make up for practicing. And, you know, that's what it comes down to. I mean, it's all practice. Practice, shot placement, you know. But my advice for anyone, I mean, when I talk about, you know, anything with archery, I tell them, number one, do less, have fun, and just don't drop your arm when you're shooting. My bad habit.
There you go. I'm a bow gripper. That's my big thing. I get a lot of left and right because I love to grab the bow after I shoot.
Yep. But oh yeah. Yeah. See it. Yep. Everyone knows their habits, but hey, you know what? It's fun. Like for me, I shoot a handheld release, and I was at the big Redding shoot.
Okay.
You know, and I, you know, going there with Easton, and you know, steer some of the top shooters, and one of the guys, and Nick from AAE, Arizona Archery.
Yeah.
Those guys over there, you know, they do the vanes, they got the rest, stabilizers. You know, he put a sidebar on for me, and I'm shooting, and he goes, did anybody tell you you hammer the shit out of your trigger? And I'm like, yep. He goes, well, know what? You're shooting fine, keep doing it.
If it works for you.
It works, so.
Yeah, I gotta get shooting. We were talking about that earlier.
Yes.
I'm after the holidays and then all of this stuff with work, I gotta get refocused and get back to my shooting, get back to my practicing.
Well, that's what's great with me, because when you work in this industry too, you're around it so much, and sometimes you forget, you know, how lucky we are. And so my son, who was always into sports, and as soon as sports ended, and he started shooting, and he started dragging me out to the, you know, local 3D shoots, okay. You know, the nightly 3D shoots, and we got back into it, and I just forgot how much fun it was, but it's just like coming all around, because we'd always just wait. Our first 3D shoot was always Total Archery Challenge July.
Yep.
This year, the last few years, I mean, it's been, you know, first 3D shoot opens up, let's go, Dad, let's go.
Nice.
And it's great, because, I mean, you know, my wife says, anytime you're doing something with your son, I'll never hold you. You guys go. Because we have people who watch our Instagram, and they go, is all you and your son do is go have fun adventures and do fun stuff? It looks like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, see my lovely wife right here just hanging out with us. And
she was leaning in, making sure you were saying nice things about her.
but like she said, they go, your poor wife. And she's like, no. I mean, my son and, you know, husband are hanging out together, and he's 19. Yeah. I mean, come on, when I was that age,
when does that happen?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And I mean, you guys have been hanging out for years.
Exactly. Years. Yeah. And now he's got a job, though. Remember that meme that said having a kid is like having a little broke ass best friend? Well, now he's got a job. So.
Oh. So say somebody, you know, maybe you're out in an archery shop, and you're talking with someone, and they're like, you know, I've always wanted to get into hunting. Like, man, that sounds like a ton of fun. But I don't know. I don't know anyone that does it. I don't have any background in it. I want to do it, but it's really intimidating. What would you say to that person, maybe to encourage them, or what advice would you give them?
Oh, it's great now, because see, even back when I started bow hunting, right? I mean, I'll be honest, I graduated in 94, okay? The last book I ever read was probably, let's see, 92, all right? So here I am, fast forward to 2005, well, no, I'd say about more 2000 area. I started reading hunting books,
okay,
all right?
Okay.
Mule deer hunting books, because back then there wasn't a lot. We had Eastman's Hunting. And then we had a Monster Muley website, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to get into hunting, there's so much information out there you can get and start looking at it and just start talking. The shops, your local shop is probably the best place to go.
Yep.
Go to the local shop, talk to the person there, tell them, you know, I'm looking at getting into it. And for when it comes to a bow, you know, take a look at them. One of the things I tell people, whatever feels good in your hand.
Yep.
Try that. And then from there, just basically, you know, the information that's out there, you know, about learning. For instance, there's a guy, I just met him. He's from Queens, New York. He goes by the name of the Urban Archer.
Okay. Right. I've seen his page before, yeah.
Okay. This guy just, you know, he's got a full-time job, working, lives in Queens, wanted to know about archery, gone to archery, signed himself up, he just passed his hunter safety last year. And is just learning everything he can and trying to kill a deer. And he goes, and he wants to kill a deer in New York.
Nice.
All right. I mean, people have offered him. He's like, no, I want to hunt a deer over there. And I found this guy because I shoot archery, wear Air Jordans, and listen to the Wu-Tang Clan. Okay, that's how we connected. And this guy, I mean, he's telling me his process, but anymore, it's like, you know, go to the YouTube videos, you know, go to the things like that and start learning, because I've seen some guys know nothing about mule deer hunting, take the time, learn everything, and then, you know, hit those hills, and actually, you know, they're killing giants.
Yep.
I mean, there are some, you know, before it used to be a guy would have to hunt 15 years to kill a big deer.
Yeah.
All right? If you have the time, the patience, you know, you can do it.
Our access to information now is effectively unlimited.
It is.
And so easy. And just to hop on that, one thing I've learned, just because that's so much of how I learned, is through YouTube videos, through podcasts, is get specific, too. Like, when you're searching with something, and I talked about this. I did a mule deer hunting podcast recently, and we talked about that, where it's like, yeah, start out by, like, Googling how to hunt mule deer.
Yes.
But then, you know, they'll talk about, okay, you know, and it'll be a lot more general, though.
Yeah.
But they'll talk about, like, oh, okay, you know, mule deer in this area, you'll want to find a food source. And so then, next thing you do, you go start Googling, what do mule deer eat? Like, you really need to start getting specific with that, because I think sometimes you Google the main thing, and you're like, well, okay, this is still too complicated. You Google that so you can start paring it down and it down and get more specific and take notes and then get into that really, really detailed stuff. And that was one of my big mistakes at first, was I was just so overwhelmed because you're like, okay, well, okay, got to find their food source. So walk out in the woods and let's see what they're eating. What?
I mean, like for me, always hunted with my dad. You hiked, first deer you saw, you shot, right? You drug it down. Okay. I actually took, this is no lie, the Eastman's, Honey High Country Mule Deer book, okay?
All right.
The one book, I read since, or ever ago, and it probably took me like 4 months to get through it. ADHD and bow hunting, trust me, this is rough. But so I read that book, all right, front to cover, twice even. And I remember they talk about where we hunt, the high hills, the mountains over here, right? Take a spotting scope, look in these areas. So I took everything from that book, went scouting, and what happened was I hunted this area with my dad my entire life, all right? And guess what? I did what the book said, and I found the biggest buck I've ever found in that area. Watched them, patterned them, wasn't able to get to them, did it the second year, did everything the book said, all right? Go on the forums, talking to different people on how to hunt them, what to do. I ended up killing that buck. And it was like probably one of the greatest things ever because, I busted my butt.
Yep.
And sure enough, it was a 3x4 and it was my biggest deer. And it's all just taking the knowledge from this is all it was. I was watching VHS videos on how to, how to pattern and find mule deer. But now, it's pretty easy now with all the stuff that's out there. But there it was right there. I finally killed that deer. It's a 3x4. He was the score wise was rather than 150s, 160s, but the biggest deer I've ever killed at the time.
You also seem to have shot your sleeves off.
Oh yeah, that was before Under Armour was doing hunting clothing too. That was an Under Armour shirt right there.
Yes.
Hat backwards, no sleeves. It was hot. It was August, and
it's getting pretty hot out there.
It's pretty hot in there. I gotta show the guns, right?
All right, man, if folks want to follow along with the shenanigans, where can they find you?
Okay, well, just so you know, just anything you see on my personal Instagram page does not represent Easton Archery in any way. So you want to follow me on Instagram, it's Isaac, I-S-A-A-C dot Elman, A-L-E-M-A-N. And there is Junior. So Junior's on there, too. So you'll see that as well, but my boy's on there. But my Instagram is basically family, fun, hip-hop, mule deer, and shenanigans, like you said.
There we go. And all sorts of exciting product unboxings.
Yes, I do like the unboxing thing. Yes. Like I tell people, working in the industry, you do end up, meeting people, meeting companies, and they, they send you. And I don't consider myself an influencer. I'm more of a product prostitute. That's the term I like.
There we go, man. Well, I love that we finally got to sit down. I think we've been talking about this for about 3 hunt expos
Now. Exactly, yeah.
So I'm glad we finally got to sit down and chat. Thanks for taking the time,
Thank
brother.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, y'all, that'll do it for this episode of The Wild Initiative. Make sure you check out the show notes page at thewildinitiative.com. Get links to everything we talked about in today's episode. That'll do it for this week. I hope this episode inspired you to get involved, get outdoors, and plan your initiative for the wild.
Thank you for listening to The Wild Initiative. Please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. And head on over to thewildinitiative.com to get show notes, check out the blog, gear discounts, other podcasts from the Wild Initiative family, and more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
You'd think, with four of us spread out on a tiny island, that the task of tagging a whitetail would not be a big thing. But, as I've learned, no matter where I've been, whitetails can be damn tricky.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.